just with the two transactions, both Jairus Byrd and Tavon Rooks came onto the roster today, both passing their physicals. We'll just be smart about the reps like we would any player that's coming back in. Any questions?
Just to have him on the field, I mean, you guys have been looking forward to this. I mean, just your thoughts on having him.
Yeah, you know, obviously the sooner the better when he's recovering. I'm glad we did the procedure when we did rather than, you know, try to, you know, get through the season in a maintenance mode. I know he feels better, and yet we still got to be smart here. We've got a lot of time and a lot of things that we've got to do and a lot of things that he's got to be able to catch up on. But he's a quick study. You know, he's been attentive in all the meetings, and it's good having him out here.
Sean, looking at when Byrd was fielding punts, is he almost like the emergency punt returner, kind of like Lance Moore?
Well, he played that role. He played that role in Buffalo. So I don't want to just put him in that role. The first day, you can see he catches it pretty naturally. And so those ball skills that we see at free safety, you kind of see as a punt returner, but that potentially could be something he does, and yet maybe it's more significant than that. But I thought he fielded the punts really well.
In the snaps there was on there, you could always see him already being vocal. Is the cerebral aspect of it something that's...
It's a strength of his. It's a strength. And the one... I don't know that played a part in his decision to have the procedure done, but mentally he felt up to speed with everything we're doing. And so, you know, now it's just physically transitioning back into football playing shape.
You obviously Byrd because of what he did, borrow his first-round draft pick, but you all matched the offer to Raphael Bush. Can you just talk about how important that was?
Well, there's a handful of things that come into play. Number one, we think he's a real good safety, and we've got time on task developing him. He's also someone that can play in our three safety package. He's also someone that is outstanding in the kicking game. And so, you know, really it was about his overall ability as a football player and his skill set as a football player. You know, oftentimes when it's another team in the division, you have to eliminate that from swaying you with regards to whether you decide you're going to match the offer or not. And to his credit, he's really improved, and he's really got good football instincts, and he's someone that will be very important to us in the role he plays, both as a safety and also as a special teams player.
Sean, you haven't looked at the film yet, and maybe I'm exaggerating, but it seems like this has been one of the better practices that I've witnessed, both offensive and defense making plays, not only this year, but just watching practice and even past years.
But one of the things that I felt about today's practice, just on the field watching it, is there were moments for each side of the ball, you know, and so when momentum started in one direction, the other side of the ball was able to come up with a stop or a play. We'll look at the tape. I'm sure, like it always does, when you feel like it was really good, there'll be things you know you have to correct. But I was pleased with the tempo. I was pleased with, you know, how guys are moving around.
Sean, when you look at the bubble screen type play, that concept in the NFL, you see the number of teams in college football, and looking at Cooks having that opportunity, is that almost like a long handoff when you consider the play and how positive it could be?
Well, there's two elements. The bubble itself is that little throw behind the line of scrimmage where he's running wide. The middle screen is where typically he's in the slot or out wide, and he's getting in behind the lineman. So today we ran a middle screen, you know, a wide receiver middle screen, and, you know, he was able to find his landmark. But, no, that it's a way to control pressure and pass rush.
On that play, I mean, you've heard football speed, track speed, guys like that. I mean, he seems to kind of have that. Are you seeing him in person? Is he a guy as fast as you thought he was going to be?
Yeah, he can run. He can run, yes. Absolutely. So it's our job to get him in space and let him do that.
How unique is it to play middle linebacker in the NFL, to have Curtis and David, two very cerebral players in that position? How much of an advantage is that for your team?
Well, they're experienced, and there's a lot that goes on anytime you're playing multiple defenses. Anytime a formation changes strength, there's a lot that goes on, and so those guys have to be smart enough to get the adjustments, get the calls, but also communicate it. And it's probably more challenging at home because of the noise.
How did the young quarterbacks,
go ahead,
Kilgore and Griffin, done in the first week?
Pretty well, I think. Ryan's certainly further along with what we're doing, you know, having been here a year, and Kilgore's is for someone who's come in, you know, as a rookie free agent, has done a good job with the limited reps he's getting.
How have you seen the evolution of how guys take care of their bodies, especially during time of this? Have you seen that change?
Well, it's changed a lot, really. And if you go back 15 years, there was a time where, you know, even hydrating was viewed differently, you know. And so the more we study soft tissue injuries, the more we look at ways to prevent them, you know. And that's one of the things that I think every year we're looking at. How do we eliminate the hamstrings? How do we eliminate, you know, those injuries that maybe slow a player up for a week or two? So nutrition goes into that, rest. There are a number of things, and I would say this, we're still learning too. You know, we're still really paying attention to how we can improve that area.
Are you in that salt tablet generation, or should I ask Bobby about that?
I was not, but see, Bobby's older than I am. I was in that generation where you didn't take a water break, or that was a sign of weakness if you bent over and you drank water. And obviously that was silly. They just didn't know it at the time.
How much growth have you seen from the defensive line? Younger players like Cam Jordan, Keem Hicks that you drafted, that you've seen for a few years now, really coming to their own?
Quite a bit. Definitely, you know, in a positive way. With Cam, he's someone that can get on an edge. He's very good at applying pressure, and he's very athletic inside. Keem, for him, it's the improvement of technique, pad level. Just with his experience of playing, he's got such size that when he uses his technique and gets his pad level down, he can be really, really difficult to block.
Sean, take us through that. There's a play today, a back shoulder throw, and it was Breeze to Cooks. Looks like Champ Bailey had great coverage. We've seen Drew hook up with Jimmy Graham and Colson. Now you see him with Cooks. Break it down offensively and defensively. What does the defensive back coach tell Champ Bailey? I mean, you couldn't have better coverage. I mean, just talk about that offensive and defense.
Well, we're not the first. You know, when you start getting some of the bump and run coverage we get, it's hit or miss with the deep go route. And then, you know, pretty soon you begin to locate it a little bit behind them. The team that does a great job of defending that in press coverage is Seattle. You know, they're really good with their eyes around. They play a couple different techniques that can fool you and kind of bait you into that throw. But I thought Drew and Brandon made a real good play, you know, handling the bump. And Champ, like you said, was in position. It's tough to stay on top when you're in press and then be able to handle, you know, that type of throw, which if you went way back, it was like that underthrown go route where everything stopped and came back to the ball, and it puts the defender in a tough position oftentimes, you know, the potential penalties called.
Coach, what did you know about Sean Davis Jones before? I mean, did you watch any tape of him before the draft, or was he just a guy that somebody else recommended?
Yeah, listen, so many times we sit in those meetings, and it's the area scout that has a background, and this goes back to even drafting Jimmy Graham, you know. And so someone's got a passion for a player and believes strongly in a player, whether it's a draft pick or a highly sought-after free agent, because when the draft ends, we're not calling every free agent. There's an order. And so, you know, the guys that are in those areas year-round, you know, they'll have a player or two that they really want to stand on the table for. And look, we've done a good job with later round free agent players. We've been able to develop those guys, and they found their way on the roster. So no different with him. An area scout starts with a recommendation, and then it's us really creating the vision.
Sean, who was the area scout receivers?
There was two, and I don't want to give you the wrong area scout. I'll get it to you so you can complete the story. But it would always go area scout, and then it would be the cross-check scout. So there'd be at least two reports, probably in his case four.
I mean, what his body of work, I know it's very early, but I know he's a tall guy. You had mentioned that.
He had an injury that limited his production his last year compared to his junior year.
Right.
And so, you know, he's a player that might have been drafted, you know, had he not had the injury that set him back a little bit his final year. But I like the size. you know, we've got a couple of those young receivers that are long, and they give you a good throwing radius.
Sean, kind of rookie receivers notoriously struggle. With Cooks, it seems like he has a real nice feel for space, for route running. Already shown comfortable with lining him up a bunch of different places. Can you talk about mental adjustment for the program?
Well, it's still making sure that you're working him at one specific position. If you got to really be able to look at the formations. You know, we've lined him up at X, and a few times he's come inside based on the way the formation's been called. But he's handled the install, especially for not having been here for some of the spring work. He was in San Diego with Drew in the summer. But it's still a transition.
Sean, kind of jumping on that medical
last
question
one
earlier, just even a few years ago, just how far y'all learned about medical advancements and things like that, would you have been more hesitant even a few years ago to do that surgery with Bird, something that could weigh and requires maybe a quick turnaround?
No, I think what the procedure he had done was not necessarily a different decision or process than it would have been 5 years ago. Now, I think that the maintenance element that's required without it is something that all of a sudden you're just kind of playing with this pain, and it's important. Look, the most important piece of the equation is the communication from the player, how it's feeling, how it's affecting him, and then finding the doctor he feels comfortable with that has a conviction as to how it can be repaired. And so we felt really good about the diagnosis and then the decision with regards to the procedure. I don't know how much that would have changed 5 years ago or further back.